are Locked On Sooners, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma Sooners. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, Sooner fans, welcome back to the Locked On Sooners podcast. It's a hump day edition. I'm your host, David Walker. You can find me on Twitter at D_walk74. I'm a former Sooners offensive lineman. I also co-host the Iron Horse podcast with former Dallas Cowboy Brandon Carr. My tag team partner, John Williams, he's out today. But we got a mystery partner filling in, coming down the aisle in the form of Eddie Radosovich from the Franchise OK Morning Show and Soonerscoop.com. Eddie Radosovich, my man, welcome to the show.
What's going on? How are we?
I'm doing great, man. I'm glad to be with you. You are the, I don't know if, you know, Blinken Riley, he's a good follow, man. It's hard to weed out Blinken.
I am not as smart as Blinken, I can tell you that. You're not going to get any numbers from me.
But you are more entertaining. So Blinken, we've had Blinken on the pod. Blinken's a factual savant and a great follow on Twitter, but Eddie keeps the laughs coming. And Eddie, man, we're glad to have you on the show tonight.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. And, you know, it's kind of a interesting time here. I didn't know if there'd be a whole lot of football talk, but it certainly kind of turned into that this evening.
Yeah, the transfer portal keeps hopping, and it's not just a one-way street into Norman. For a while, we were getting spoiled. The pipeline from Tennessee has been flowing. And then I got a text from my co-host, John Williams, and he said, hey, did you see Buki enter the transfer portal? And at first, when I read it, I kind of gasped because I actually read it as Brooks into the transfer portal. And for a second, I was like, oh, and then I had like the Denzel meme, you know, the gif in my head, like the, oh, you said Buki, not Brooks. Okay. And then I kind of reevaluated. But I mean, you cover the Sooners and have done so for a long time. So you know better than most, and you've covered this individual as well and had a lot of interactions with him. But, you know, Buki, Brendan Radley Hiles entering the transfer portal is a huge story for Oklahoma football fans because I don't know if there's been a more polarizing player among Sooner fans that I can recall, given his time here. So what was your take when you found out the news?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. It was something that I think that there was a lot of rumors kind of coming out of the Cotton Bowl. Probably they really reached a peak right after Christmas, I want to say. And, you know, you started kind of thinking or hearing that maybe Buki was going to be one of those guys that entered the transfer portal. And then it seemed like everything had kind of died down through the month of January. And you just didn't really know which way it was going to go. And then you figured, okay, well, classes started this past week. He must be back in Norman. Everything's going to be okay. And, you know, sure enough, he went ahead and pulled the trigger. I think that, you know, as you said, he is certainly one of the most polarizing guys. I think that, you know, obviously, because he was a five-star kid coming out of high school, he's a very, very popular kid as far as it comes to, you know, Instagram and kind of the following that he has built. You talk about a guy, and, you know, I'm sure that there's been a lot of name, image, likeness talk. He is somebody that would kill it in the name, image, likeness, just as far as the brand that built through high school.
No doubt.
And connecting with all those kids. And, you know, it's kind of sad to see him go from a personal side. I love Buki. I thought that he was one of the most upstanding guys that they have down there in Norman, just as far as every time that something went bad over the last couple seasons, specifically on the defensive side, specifically was involved. He would stand in front of the cameras. He would answer every question. Yes, sir. No, sir. And kind of, you know, he's just a very bright from like a personal side of covering the team. It's sad to see him go. You know, I do think that he's polarizing for the fact that, you know, it depends on who you talk to as far as if they think he's a good player, if they think he's had a good career. Yeah. I'll just say, I think he's had a good career at Oklahoma. I mean, you look at the numbers that he's put up, 115 tackles, which is a little bit surprising to me. The interceptions obviously weren't there, but it was just those small things, whether it be a personal foul that extended a drive or a missed tackle. And, you know, I think a lot of that is probably because of the, you know, the stature of just his size physically. He's an easy scapegoat. But then again, at the same time, you hear, you know, guys like Lincoln Riley talk about how much they like him, how much they love having him a part of the program, how big a part of the program he was. And then, you know, I think if you just scroll around tonight on Twitter, you can see that it's always kind of interesting to see the way that teammates handle the departure of somebody. And I think by all means, he is going to be a guy that, you know, his teammates obviously loved and are going to be sad to see him go. And, you know, I'm cheering for the guy. I think he'll probably end up somewhere back on the West Coast. That's a complete guess. Hopefully he can go kind of make something of it here in his final year, and then hopefully some professional ball. So,
yeah, it's interesting. When you use the word polarizing, you know, there's a lot of different variations of that, right? I mean, we all, as Sooner fans, most of us are Thunder fans, and you watch Russell Westbrook for so long, and, you know, he might have been not everybody's cup of tea, but you loved him when he was on your squad. And I think that's probably the way that I think a lot of guys, it sounds like the teammates feel about Bukey was, yes, he might make some plays that frustrate fans, might even frustrate former players. I know there's a lot of, you know, times where it's just the – I think one of the things I felt that was probably the most frustrating about his career to the fan base were the personal fouls, were the standing out for the wrong reasons on occasion. And I think that's
sure. You know,
and I think a lot of it was, you mentioned the stature. I think there was a lot of things working against him from day one that should have been positive things. Like coming in as a five-star guy should be a positive. It should be nothing but positive. But I think what happened was, it created such an expectation. Then when the performance didn't measure up to it, it started snowballing. And all of a sudden, I think the fan base started seeing him in all the wrong ways. And they were basically hyper-focused on every negative that he made. And it just started to, it seemed to just kind of build upon itself over the seasons. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, you can look back on his time at Oklahoma and say, man, he was a part of, you know, a handful of Big 12 championships. He got to go to the playoffs a couple times. He won a Cotton Bowl. And he's going to look back on it fondly and feel like he made a big impact probably in recruiting in the state of California. And all of those things can be true. And yet, you know, I do think it'll be interesting to see how the defensive backfield looks, because I feel like what happened was he got recruited before Alex Grinch got to Norman, right? And everything Alex Grinch has done since then is go and get guys who are 6 foot, 6'1", 6'2", and beyond. And it's almost like I feel like the writing was probably on the wall. And I don't know if the Key Lawrence transfer pushed him over the edge on that or not, but it was just one more guy coming in that's got 6'2" size. And eventually you start looking in that around that room and one doesn't look like the other. And one wasn't recruited by the defensive coordinator. You know, I think there was going to be some issues coming up playing time. And one of the things you don't want, Eddie, in my opinion, and this is, I don't care if you're a basketball coach, probably specifically if you're a basketball coach or if you're a football coach, is you don't want a senior who's played a lot that all of a sudden finds himself sitting on the bench, because it's just it's an awkward dynamic at times. And you know, some guys handle it great. Some guys are able to, you know, be in that mentor role. And a lot of guys though are going to be a little bit on edge, and that can create an unhealthy dynamic. And I'm not saying he would have been that had he been demoted next season because of maybe they bring in a different style of player. But I do think that if he has an opportunity to go play and be on the field and, you know, put it out there for 60, 70 snaps a game, that's what he needs to go do. And I think the transfer portal is probably what I think it probably was the right move for him at this point in his career.
Yeah, it could be a win-win for everybody. I mean, I think look at what Oklahoma's been able to do just as far as, you know, recruiting measurables in the secondary, specifically what Alex Grinch wants to bring into the program. You look at what Oklahoma's done in the secondary, they've kind of positioned themselves to be able to be in position here moving forward to get a lot more talent in the secondary. And I think that, you know, it could be a win-win for everybody. I don't think that Bukey leaves Norman with any, you know, ill towards the program. And likewise, I don't think that Oklahoma has any, you know, hatred about his decision or anything like that. It's kind of part of the game now. And the one thing that fans just got to understand, and they like it when they come into the program, but it's when the guys leave to the portal, it's like, it's just kind of the way that recruiting works nowadays. It's a little bit different. And I think everybody is kind of still getting used to the kind of the tone of how recruiting goes nowadays, as far as utilizing the transfer portal and then also bringing kids in through the high school ranks. So it's kind of interesting to watch. And specifically for somebody like me that works for Rivals and kind of covers the recruiting game. So it's kind of fun at the same time, and it's kind of new, but I think it's going to work out for both schools or both parties here. Oklahoma fans are going to like what Oklahoma puts on the field next year, as far as the secondary goes. And I think Bukey, a nice home, and you know, hopefully it's back on the West Coast or something that he can get closer to his fam. I know they're really, really tight.
Yeah. And I think anymore when players come and go in these situations, like in the old days, it would have been like, oh man, he couldn't do this, or no, it's not like that now. It's more of like a pivot than it is like I'm quitting or I'm abandoning my team. It's just more like, no, you know what? I had a good run. Now I'm going to pivot and I'm going to go somewhere else. Just like free agency took us a long time as professional sports fans to kind of get accustomed to the idea that, you know what, the team that drafts your favorite player, he might not stick around for 20 years. It just, life happens, opportunities change, coaching staffs change, defensive schemes change. And in this situation, I think this is a pivot. I think, like you said, it's going to work out best for both sides. And we're going to pivot as well as we come out of break. We're going to come back more with Eddie Radosovic, and we're going to talk about Lon Kruger and the Lon Kruger effect on this Oklahoma men's basketball team, who is still in the top 10 for the week. They took a loss last night in Lubbock, but a great situation unfolding right now at the Lloyd Noble Center with what Lon Kruger is putting on the court. And we're going to talk with Eddie about that, about why he's so successful, about what he's getting from his guys. We're back right here on Locked On Sooners. But first, I want to tell you about Built Bar. Look, this is the best tasting protein bar on the market, and it's not even close. I'm a big guy. I like to eat. I also like to work out. And so believe me when I tell you, I have tried about every combination of protein bar that you can imagine. And they get really creative out there in the protein bar world. But Built Bar has mastered it. It's the only protein bar that's 100% covered in chocolate. They've got 18 great flavors. I've tried them all. You can get an 18 sampler pack. And I just ordered one last weekend. So I'm on round three of Built Bar. And I can tell you, they're legit. They've got great flavors like coconut, cookies and cream, German chocolate cake, carrot cake, lemon almond cheesecake. You can't go wrong. And if you use the promo code LOCKEDON, when you go to BuiltBar.com, you can get 20% off your first order. Again, use the promo code LOCKEDON to get 20% off your first order at BuiltBar.com. And get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get podcasts. And we're back here on Locked On Sooners with Eddie Radosovic of the Franchise OK Morning Show, also of Rivals, Soonerscoop.com. Eddie, I want to talk about Lon Kruger. Look, you've been around Oklahoma basketball for a long time. You've covered this team. You know, like myself, I'm sure you remember the Billy Tubbs era. You remember the Kelvin Sampson era. Final fours for both of those guys. Lon Kruger has been to the Final Four. He's coming up on a decade now as the head coach at Oklahoma. Took them out of the sanctions as Jeff Capel and Kelvin Sampson kind of had the program mired in some turmoil. And all of a sudden, this year kind of came out of nowhere where this team is a top 10 team. They're playing great. They're a lot of fun to watch. How is he doing it differently than these coaches who've had so much success before him?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of crazy. The first thing I would say is it's been a pure joy just to watch this basketball team. And I kind of grew up in the heart hustle hardwood days. Like, that is my wheelhouse of Oklahoma basketball. That's what I grew up on with Kelvin Sampson and everything that he was able to put together. And this team has a lot of those same characteristics as far as, you know, it's a group of guys that I don't think that necessarily anybody is expecting to be banging down the doors of the NBA draft here over the next couple of years. Certainly, you know, Austin Reeves is putting together a Big 12, all Big 12 first team type year. And certainly they hope to get him back on the court on Saturday against Iowa State. Devin Harmon's made strides, but it's also a group that has played a lot of basketball, and they're kind of being blended in with a group that came in as one of the better recruiting classes Oklahoma brought in. I mean, Jalen Hill's a guy that was a Gatorade All-American coming out of high school. He's the Nevada Player of the Year in 2018. So they've done a really good job of developing talent. They put together, I think, an identity that I think is what Lon Kruger has always wanted in a team, as far as being a little bit gritty, being a team that's going to go out and maybe not be the prettiest team in the entire world, but they're going to go out and fight you for 40 minutes. And I think that that's what Oklahoma has this season. It's been a lot of fun to watch to come together. And, you know, as far as Lon goes, it's been incredible to see him, coach obviously up close over the last decade now, and it's hard to imagine that that's even can be said that he's been down there for that long. But it's unbelievable to see the way that he is able to coach. And you know, once things everything gets back to normal, I would implore anybody that wants to go down to Norman, they can go down to practice at any time. Now maybe that will change, but before COVID, you can go down to practice anytime and watch them. And you know, whether it be the Buddy Hill teams that had a lot of success, or maybe some of those teams that didn't find as much success but still made an NCAA tournament. I've never seen the guy cuss. I've never seen the guy raise his voice. It's just such a different style that I think a lot of people think of when they think of a college basketball coach. And that's one of the reasons why Long's been doing it for as long as he has, because he developed the relationship with those players. You know, those guys are committed to kind of what he envisions his program to be. And if you buy in, I think that you're able to get kind of the rewards of what he has put together. And, you know, this team has certainly been a lot of fun to watch. I don't think that there is anybody that would have thought this team was going to get into the top 10 at any point in February. If you would have asked me, you know, sometime around the game after, you know, maybe they got beaten by Xavier or something at the beginning in December. So, it's been a fun team to watch. They have the right ingredients that you could put together and maybe make a special run, maybe get to the second weekend of the NCAA tournament, which I think would be superb for this group. So it's been a lot of fun to watch. Credit to Lone Kruger. And, you know, he has a good staff around as far as Carlin Hartman and everything they've been able to put together. And Coach Mo, he's been preaching, you know, buying in on the defensive end for the last 2 or 3 years now. So it's been a lot of fun to watch. And I think that, you know, it's just too bad that Oklahoma fans can't get down to the Lloyd Noble Center, because this is a team that I think a lot of people would really kind of, gravitate towards, just because of the way that they play, just because I think it does hit the nostalgic button for a lot of people, especially a guy like an Elijah Harkless, who is kind of a fun story as far as, you know, he was a guy they brought in. He was going to redshirt. He had been completely open to the idea of redshirting over this past season, and then of course he gets the extra year of eligibility, or they give him they grant him the this year of eligibility from the NCAA because of the transfer and because of COVID. Like, he is everything that I think people think of when they think of that heart hustle hardwood nostalgia.
Absolutely.
And it's been fun to watch it come together, and I think that it's just unfortunate that people aren't able to get down to the Lloyd Noble Center in full and be able to see what they're doing, because it's been a fun year from a coverage standpoint and from just a purely sit back and watch Oklahoma basketball standpoint, which I've been able to do this year, not being because they've only been credentialing one person per side. We had Bone Man going over there, but it's been a lot of fun to watch, and I can't wait for the stretch run. Every night in the Big 12 brings something new, and even though everybody's kind of chasing Baylor right now, it should be another fun month, and hopefully they can get into the Big 12 tournament and then watch a lot of basketball in Indianapolis here in the month of March.
Yeah, now are we sure that Elijah Harkless is not a time traveler, like from the Kelvin Sampson era? Are we sure he didn't play for Kelvin?
It's crazy, man. It is crazy. I can't remember, and I think that, you know, like you've been on teams before, and it just, I think that his style of play and the way that he was inserted into the lineup, and he kind of just put his head down and said, "I'm going to make my money, or I'm going to make." Kind of my living on the defensive end, and whatever comes to me on the offensive end, I'll be fine with. I think that that kind of spreads, that kind of attitude spreads throughout a team. And, you know, if there's anything that I've taken away from this group, it seems like they're a pretty close group. It seems like it has good chemistry.
Yep.
And, you know, certainly those are the types of kind of intangibles that I don't know if it's necessarily going to go win you a game in Indianapolis or Kansas City at the Big 12 basketball tournament, but it certainly will give you a better opportunity to roll the ball out there and have a good night. And I think that if you can say anything about this team, it might not be pretty, but they're going to go out there and they're going to fight you for 40 minutes. And, you know, I think that, I guess to a certain extent as Oklahomans, I think everybody can kind of endear themselves to that.
Yeah. And you mentioned it earlier, if this was an opportunity, and now listen, Sooner basketball fans have been known to be fickle. They've been known to only really pack the place when we have a generational talent like a Blake Griffin or a Buddy Hield or a Trey Young. However, if this was a raucous Lloyd Noble Center crowd behind the defensive intensity that they're playing to, you know, 1,500 people, and they're giving that kind of effort, can you imagine if they had 10,000 fans behind them, the defensive, like, they literally might just shut somebody out for a half. Like, I mean, that's
it would be a lot of fun. And what's even crazier too is because, like, there's been this narrative out there over, you know, I think the Trey Young team is probably one of the better examples of there wasn't a whole lot of defense being played. And this group has a lot of guys that were kind of around, you know, Brady was obviously around during that time. You know, Austin Reeves was sitting out, but he wasn't necessarily a part of the team. They've kind of bought into this idea of making their money on the defensive end and really making advancements on that side of the ball. Being physical, that's another thing, that a characteristic that I can't remember, you know, a Long Kruger team having over the last couple of years. He really kind of almost invented himself. In fact, there was somebody that asked him a couple of weeks ago, and it might've been about a week ago, just as far as like, has he had more fun with this group just because of the circumstances that have been out there? And, you know, Lon's never really wanted to point out and say this team is more fun than the other, but you do kind of get the feeling that they really like what this team is about, what they've been able to build. And, you know, when you're only around 15 or 20 guys every day, you can only help but get closer to each other. So it's been a lot of fun. I think that the last month of this season is going to be just absolutely bonkers as far as the way and things that could happen. And then obviously if you can get the double bedlam at the end of February, that's kind of just the cherry on top before postseason play begins.
Yeah, and one of the things that Sooner fans can take some solace in too is this run they're making right now, this doesn't have to end in 2021. I mean, they can bring this squad back essentially for the next season. And so all of this stuff they're doing right now in this blue collar manner, they're just building and building. So whatever this season ends, whatever run they make, they're almost just going to hit the pause button and then come right back with some of these same pieces and have that same mentality and have this unique season under their belt where they did rally together and get after people defensively. So it's going to be a lot of fun to see what this team does down the stretch. And when we come back here on Locked On Sooners, we're going to talk some more football. We're going to talk about some big things that happened outside of the game that will impact college football going forward. But first, are you ready for some more football? Because we still got a big game coming up. And betonline.ag has you covered if you want to get into the action on the Super Bowl. There's only one place that has you covered, one place that we actually trust. That's betonline.ag. If you want to use the promo code LOCKEDON, you can get in on the action and get 50% off of your first deposit. That's betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. And betting on your favorite team doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, get daily picks and quick hitting advice to make the smartest possible wagers. Subscribe to the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get podcasts. And we're back for one more segment with Eddie Radosovich of Franchise OK. Eddie, off the field, look, we all grew up, like you said, you grew up in the 90s with the Heart Hustle Hardwood, Kelvin Sampson days, as did I. And I also grew up on EA Sports, college football. We probably all spent way too much time on it, especially in college, probably stayed up a little bit too late in dynasty modes. And since 2014, we've all had to kind of move on from college football as a video game. But EA Sports comes out, dropped the news today on Twitter, as we're sitting here Tuesday night, that college football is coming back. And I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. So name, image, and likeness is coming around the corner, and all signs point to that being part of the deal. You mentioned Buki early on, and Buki would have made bank on name, image, and likeness. But now EA Sports is getting back in the college football world, bringing college football back to the masses. So there's going to be a lot of angry wives wondering what happened to their husbands, what happened to their to-do lists, but it's coming back. So what are your thoughts about that and the impact it's going to have on college football going forward?
Well, I mean, first off, I would start by saying that you hit it right on the head. I don't know if there is anybody, you know, in that like 27 to 40 demo that didn't have a slumber party or a guy's night in college where you stay up way too late playing tournament style NCAA football. Like, that is the bread and butter of video games, at least for me and my friend group. We grew up on it. All we did, it seemed like, during football season or during the summer or whenever, we'd be playing NCAA. So I was ecstatic to find out it was coming back. It's long overdue. I've never really understood why there's been a hiatus, but at the same time, I don't understand it just as far as I think the whole thing's so stupid. Just throw the guys some money, let them throw their names on it, and let's be done with it. But I'm very excited for it coming back. I was a little disappointed to find out that even though they made the announcement that it's coming back, it's still going to be a couple years. So I guess the wait will definitely be worth it, but very exciting news. As far as the return, I thought it was funny. It was like 15 minutes after they tweeted that this morning, the sports official account, it had like 20,000 interactions already as far as retweets. And I think earlier this evening, I saw it was like 80,000. So, yeah. I think that it's been welcomed back with open arms. And the Nintendo companies win again. I haven't even had a Nintendo console since probably they stopped playing the game.
Yeah.
And I will damn sure make sure that I have one by 2022 or 2023, whenever they come out with the game.
Yeah, that's one of those. My oldest is 7 years old, and the only video game we have in the house is the original NES, and I was depriving him basically because I was kind of trying to keep him at arm's length in the video game world as long as I could. When I saw that news today, I'm like, all right, so I got about 2 more years, and then he's going to be getting whatever gaming system that is. He will be receiving that for the next birthday or Christmas, and I will be happy to indulge. Now, I got like a 2-year runway to build up a lot of good equity to justify the time I'm going to be spending on that bad boy as well. So for all you listeners out there, look, you got time, okay? You can ease your significant other into this conversation about why you need to play this game whenever it finally returns. But, you know, looking at the cover, the cover guy is always the big trending topic back in the day. I mean, the fact that Denard Robinson at Michigan was the last cover guy is kind of a wild stat given the way his career would end up panning out. But since the time that game went away, Oklahoma becomes quarterback U, has Heisman Trophy winners and big time names in the sport. So since that hiatus has taken place back in 14, which Sooner, if you could say one guy missed his opportunity, would have definitely been the cover guy, who would it have been from Oklahoma?
Oh man, there's so many good guys to choose from. I mean, it comes down to Baker or Kyler, doesn't it? Just as far as what they were able to accomplish. I always go back and forth on this, and I'll make the short explanation, but I think that just because my answer is going to be Baker, but I do think that Kyler probably doesn't get enough due as far as, you know, which guy, if I had to go win a game, which guy would I throw out there? I would be hard pressed. I would go with Kyler, but when you throw in all of the Oklahoma history with Baker, the way that he grew up, attending games, being young, basically living the dream that most Oklahoma fans grow up wanting to live as far as being the football player, being the quarterback at that school. He took a winding road to get to Norman, but everybody knows the history once he got there. And I think that, you know, when he came in, what he was able to do as far as kind of reinvigorating the program, teaming up with Lincoln Riley, I think that extracurriculars, if you will, they kind of put him over the top. So I would probably go with Baker. That's a case that I think a lot of people would want to have in their own home. And, you couldn't go wrong with Kyler, though, because I covered him over on the baseball side of things, too. And I think that there's a lot of people that feel like Kyler was just in Norman for a cup of coffee and played football for like 6 months and then hit town or got out of town. And that couldn't be further from the truth. He spent a lot of time over with the baseball program. He developed a lot of bonds that, you know, he's still relatively extremely close with people over in those offices, even to today. And I think that, you know, it's been a part of everything that Lincoln Riley has built. And, you know, I'm sure that everybody that listens to this podcast doesn't need a historical review of that. But those two are probably the most prominent guys that you could make an argument for. And I don't know. I mean, I'm sure that there's people out there that would probably argue Jalen Hurts, but he'd probably be wearing an Alabama jersey anyways if he was on the cover.
Oh, man, can you imagine the heads that would have exploded at Alabama if Jalen got on the cover and Sooner? Oh, that would,
it would be
amazing.
It would be Twitter fodder for days, and the message boards would literally melt down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they'd have to – every PTI, they'd be all over it. It would have been just – the biggest thing in the offseason that had that taken place. But I would tend to agree. I would say you have to probably go with Baker. I think Baker would have been the one that would have caught the most eyes in a Best Buy or a Walmart. You see that, you know, he just had such a flair. You know, I think we were going to talk about something else this segment, but I want to stop down on this because I think you brought up a fascinating point that I've been thinking about for a while. And that's, you know, Baker to me was the one, just for what you said, all the reasons you mentioned, he's the one that kind of combined this like Boz persona into the most important position on the field. And he kind of had that swag, that edge that represented kind of how I think a lot of Oklahomans feel about their program. And he just actually was like everybody's spirit animal out there on the field and just running around like a kid at recess playing pickup football. Like all of us, when we grew up in Oklahoma on a playground somewhere. And then you have Kyler who, you know, like you said, it felt like he was only here for a minute. And I feel like me personally, I felt like I was waiting for the other shoe to drop as he started off that season. And I just kept thinking, you know what? Surely Oklahoma is not going to get this lucky and have like no drop off from how great Baker was. And so I feel like I spent half that season not really fully appreciating how good he actually was until then it was like, oh man, now he's already out of here. So go ahead.
I was just going to say, I 100% spent the 2019 season, like it seemed like almost every Saturday night after a game, trying to emphasize, and then throughout the week, trying to emphasize, this is not normal. What Oklahoma is doing offensively is not normal. And yeah. I think people, even this year, you go back and you look at what Spencer Rattler and what they were able to do with their numbers. And, you know, you had the drop off, obviously, and that was expected. But like, even the numbers that Spencer put up in his first year are still like, there are 100 teams in the country that would kill for those type of numbers. So spoiled rotten is probably the best way to put it. But you're exactly right. It's been kind of a dream since Lincoln Riley took over, at least offensively. And I mean, hell, we sit here and getting ready for the 2021 season. And I mean, this grouping from a talent standpoint could be better than anything they've ever had. And I don't even know what that, like, that doesn't even comprehend with me what that could mean as far as what the numbers could be of what they put up over the next few seasons.
All right. So I want to ask you a 2-part question. One, I want to finish off what you said earlier about if you had one game to win, and you could go with Baker or Kyler, who would you go with? And then the second part of that question would be, which I know there's not a, that's a loaded question, but the second part of that is this 2021 team, the talent level on both sides of the football, when was the last time Oklahoma went into a season as deep on both sides of the football as they will be in 2021? So for starters, who you got, Baker or Kyler? You got one game to win. Who are you going to go with?
If I had one game on a college football field, I always feel awkward saying this aloud, but I'd probably take Kyler. Like what he's able to do with his feet. I don't know if there's very many defenses nationally, and I think that we saw this, that could match up with him, on a given night. And obviously Alabama had their turn and did so in the Orange Bowl, but you stick Kyler. One of my all-time what ifs is you stick Kyler behind the 2017 offensive line. What happens at the Rose Bowl? And that's going to be something that Oklahoma fans kind of kick around, or even if they had a defense, that's something they'd have to kick around for the next few years. I mean, I'm sure it'll be a point of debate, but I'd probably go Baker. I mean, I'd probably go Kyler. And you're basically talking about picking between two of the better quarterbacks to ever do it on a college football field. So I think you're in pretty good shape either way you go.
Yeah, for sure.
And what was the other one as far as who has the most depth as far as the last couple seasons, who could probably emulate what they're about to do?
Not even that. Just for Oklahoma football specifically. I mean, I'm trying to rack my brain around the fact that, especially as this transfer portal has lit up from Tennessee coming to Norman,
sure,
filling these gaps that we might have had or might not have even had. I mean, I feel like they were going to be in a pretty good shape whether those transfers showed up or not. And there could still be another one. You mean Big Cat Bryant still out there potentially, and who knows what's going to happen there. But coming into the season, the depth they have on both sides of the ball, having two quarterbacks, you don't really have to worry as much about an injury at quarterback. You got depth there as well. You got depth at running back position. You got receivers and H-backs galore. You got offensive line short up. You got a defense that got better all year long. And now they've gotten better personnel. So I just don't know when the last time Oklahoma entered a season as deep on both sides of the football as they will be in 2021.
It's been a while. I mean, you look at the 2017 offense, I think 10 of the 11 guys started at one point in the NFL this past season. Defensively, it's been a long time since they've had some of the guys that they're able to put out on the field. And, I think that the most exciting part is a lot of the guys that played last year and got experience are relatively pretty young. I'm talking about the DJ Grahams of the world, the Woody Washingtons of the world. You saw Nick Benito grow into the role that he did as far as an outside edge rusher. They think Clayton Smith, who just picked up his 5-star from Rivals a few weeks ago before early enrolling on campus, he's going to be a guy that I think could maybe fit into that role as a freshman and probably get a lot of snaps. And then, it kind of starts all up front as far as what Oklahoma's been able to recruit, as far as Perrion Winfrey, obviously, For him, it's just about finishing plays. I think everybody saw him in the backfield multiple times against Florida. He wasn't able to finish it. And I think that you're going to see a much more comfortable player in a year. I thought Joshua Ellison played well last year. Corey Robinson had a kind of a nice, quiet year. Jordan Kelly, even, is a guy that coming back on a defensive line that, I mean, you remember when the defensive line was a unit that was almost, I think, depleted as far as difference makers. And I think that you look at this 21 group, that could be one of the stronger units. And, you know, I hate to harp on this, and I know that people kind of roll their eyes at it, but, you know, they've recruited much better over the last few seasons. And I think that you're starting to kind of see the fruits of those labors and being able to get guys, you know, they've been able to recruit. Oddly enough, the state of Tennessee has been so kind to them in getting a guy like a Reggie Grimes, Woody Washington, 3 years ago. So it's going to be kind of fun to see how this thing comes together. Obviously, Oklahoma enters the 21 season with, I would say they're probably as high as expectations as I can remember since being on the beat. And I started in 2010. You know, obviously they were number one. What was that in 2011, 2012, yeah. Landry Jones and that group. But, you know, this is the time, I think, for Lincoln Riley and everybody down there. And I think that when you listen to the coaches, especially over the last month of the season, as far as what Alex Grinch was saying, what Lincoln Riley was saying, they feel like they put themselves into position to make that jump. And the next jump is winning a college football playoff game. I don't think that it's crazy to say playing in a national championship game should be the goal. And I know there's Oklahoma fans screaming at their radio or whatever they're listening to saying that's the goal every season. Well, I mean, some years it's a little bit different than others. And, you know, I think that they are certainly setting themselves up. It's kind of a championship or bust next season and the seasons to come, just because of what they've been able to do through recruiting, and then obviously developing those guys once they get to campus. And you know, a guy like a Jamar Cain was unbelievable last year alongside Calvin Thibodeau, and what they were able to do with that group. And you would imagine that the natural evolution of Alex Grinch going into his third year will be much better than the second year. And I think everybody knows the type of jump they made between one and two.
Yeah, for me, I think that's the most talented team they've had since the Sam Bradford-led team that lost the national title to Tim Tebow. And I think that team was a DeMarco Murray injury away from being national champions that season. And then they were returning most of those guys coming back in the following year. And the injuries took place to Bradford and Gresham and those guys, and it never really materialized. But to me, you got to go all the way back to that 08-09 period to think about a time when they were that good offensively and defensively coming into a season. So it's a championship or bust. I think that's fair. And I think you're going to hear a lot of that conversation taking place through spring ball and through the summer and into the preseason, and that snowball is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And
Oklahoma they only fans, have 7 months.
Oh man, Oklahoma fans just might like implode before we even play a football game because of how much anticipation and excitement is going to be around this team. But I think it's time. You know, it's time to push the chips into the table and go get whatever transfers they can get and load up, because you know, we had a conversation on yesterday with Parker Thune of 24/7 Sports over at OU Insider, and you know, he's kind of talking about like the cost benefit analysis of taking an Eric Gray, and maybe you know you don't want to push somebody into the transfer portal, but at the same time you got to look at it too and say, hey, at some point you got to go actually win one, and when you win one, then if somebody wants to leave after that, like, hey, look, we're if you win a national title and people are bailing, there's gonna be people walking right through the door as they walk out. So go get the title, push the chips to the table, and I think that's what Oklahoma is looking to do in 2021. And Eddie, thank you for joining us, man. It was a lot of fun catching up with you here on the podcast tonight. And let our listeners know, if they're not following you on Twitter, one, get on it. But two, where can they find you?
Yeah, no, it's been great. Eddie, EDDIE underscore Rado, RADO. And that's where I'd be. It gets weird over there sometimes, but it's fun. I'm addicted to it. And yeah, it's like Oklahoma fans are going to have, 6-7 months to build up, and I guess they can hopefully let off all that steam down in New Orleans once everything gets kicked off. But it's been a lot of fun. Thanks for having me.
Well, we appreciate it. And that's going to do it for us here today on the Locked On Sooners podcast. Be sure to go subscribe to the pod wherever you get your podcasts. Go to Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating and a review. And for my co-host, John Williams, for our guest, Eddie Radosovic, I'm David Walker. We'll catch you tomorrow with the second episode of our Players Lounge conversation with myself, John Flynn, Chris Mesner, Wes Sims, and Chris Chester. And we'll see you tomorrow here at Locked On. Boomer Sooner.